blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. And when unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear, and see thy face. 1, 2, and 3 of 118.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 30 through verse 50. Mark 9, verses 30 through 50. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 9, verse 30. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believeth in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, eternal, but also all-sufficient one, God of heaven, God of earth, we try to speak unto thee. Thou who art holy and we unholy, thou righteous and we unrighteous, thou faithful and we unfaithful, then it is impossible that we come, that we draw nigh, that we approach unto thee, except it be in him in whom thou art so well pleased, in thine only begotten Son, as mediator between thee and man, thy fallen creature. Lord, thy good pleasure that was fulfilled in thy only begotten Son, in both his active and in his passive obedience, for such as we are, that it may be possible again that we would be brought once more into thy blessed communion. Lord, if we are never affected in our life with our separation, then how shall thy dear Son become precious unto us? And then it is, O Lord, thy own work to open our eyes for our separation and to give us a desire that that separation would be taken away. Oh, that thou may work so in us and in our dear children, that the things of this time may not have the preeminence, but that thy Spirit may work with power, that that treasure that is in heaven may indeed become that which our heart seeketh after, and that all that is here below may be seen and experienced to be vain and passing away, that our hearts indeed may seek after thee, draw nigh to thee in truth and in uprightness. Do bless thy word to such an end in this thy holy Sabbath day, and day by day, as we may read it and instruct our children therein in our own homes and in our school, Lord, that thou may bless the labors that are performed in church, home, and school for our children, and that thou may work with might and power also within them, for they are not too young to die, nor are they too young to receive thy Spirit and to begin an everlasting service. Oh, that thy Spirit may then come and work with power and might in young and old alike in the midst of us, that it may be evident also in our life, that also our lifestyle may be one which does flee from the vanities of this world, that will have no pleasure in all its entertainments and all that the world has pleasure in, and that seeks for fulfillment. Lord, that thou may give us to understand in our hearts that it is passing away in a moment, in that moment that thou callest us to leave this world and to enter into a world to come. Oh, bind this matter in a special way upon our hearts. And when it is not bound upon us by nature, and when we cannot give unto ourselves or to one another anything of that consideration, that meditation, that acknowledgement that is necessary, oh, stop us then, Lord, as thou who art able to speak one word, and we will go and we will come. Oh, and that word would go forth even in this day, and then we shall be stopped with our children, and we shall be turned about in our way to seek that which we have never sought before, to love him whom we have never loved, and that all that was form and custom may now be made uprightness and in truth. Wilt thou so bless thy word in the midst of us, and not only in the midst of us, but in the midst of our congregations, our denomination, from the east unto the west. Lord, that thou may cause us to walk in the truth that thou hast given us by our forefathers, and that thou may remember us also in the meeting that is to be held in this week. Lord, thou who art over everything, thou who hast also thy own church in thy own hands, that thou may go before us in thy mercy, and that thou may give what we cannot give as foolish creatures, and that thou may supply in all the deliberations that must take place. Lord, that thy word and that thy truth may prevail, and that thou thyself may be glorified, and that thou may give us a good meeting together in true humility and in true unity around thy truth, that it may be felt, that it may be experienced. And wilt thou be with all those that will travel to that place? And wilt thou bring safely upon our journeys and home again at thy appointed time? And may thou remember each and every one of thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Lord, give more servants in thy vineyard, that they may be sent forth by thy Spirit, that they may be thrust out. We have read it out of thy word. They which will be first, they shall be last. And they that are last, they shall be first. Oh, that thou may then take those that do not aspire in themselves unto an office, and that do not desire the honor and the esteem of men, but may it be those who are truly wrought upon by thy Spirit, and that cannot but go forth to preach thy word. Oh, do instruct men then in mercy. Lord, go before all those that have special needs in this life, for thou knowest the troubles and the difficulties that are in this life because of sin. the consequences thereof, they are very great. Lord, that thou mayest supply in all the needs, both physical and the needs of the mind, but also the many cares and the concerns and the sorrows that are in this life. Separations between husbands and wives, disobedience of children, Lord, the abuse also of children. Oh, that thou thyself may come to the aid of all those who are in need, and that thou may show thyself even in the day in which we live. Do look upon us also in this afternoon hour. Lord, wilt thou give us what is necessary once again to bring thy word, that we may be enabled to speak as the Spirit giveth utterance, and that there may be a place, that there may be room made in our hearts for thee, and that that thy own name may be glorified therein. Forgive thou and take away all that is sinful within and without. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 19, stanzas 1 through 5. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? 1 through 5 of Psalter 19. Congregation, how frail is our life. We do see that from time to time. When we see how close, and how suddenly close, that even the young are coming in one moment unto death. Healthy, strong one moment, and the next moment we are fearing that they will slip away into eternity. How frail is our life. Bible says it is as a flower. And we know what a flower is and the frailty of a flower. Children, you too. You can just pluck it off in one moment, and then its beauty is gone. Or a little bit of wind, a little bit too little rain, and that flower that is immediately withering away. Bible says it is as a shadow. A shadow, what is a shadow? You say a shadow that has no substance, that is nothing. So is our life. So is the frailty of our life. How decisive, on the other hand, is our death. All decisive. That is felt by those who stand at the bodies of their loved ones. And then not only those who have lost their loved ones in accidents suddenly, but also those who have been standing by a sick bed month after month and sometimes year after year. And then when that final moment is coming, then it is felt how awful decisive that death is. Because then there is no coming back from this moment ever, ever again. How frail is our life. How all decisive is our death. And how significant is eternity. We read in the Bible of only two places. They are so opposite one another. They are places that even our frail human understanding or lack of understanding is not able to comprehend or enter into. How significant, congregation, is eternity. We wish to consider in this afternoon our Lord's Day 16, the last question. Question number 44. Lord's Day 16, question 44. Why is there added, he descended into hell? Answer, that in my greatest temptations I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, terrors, and hellish agonies in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, hath delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. So far our Lord's Day. The descension of Christ into hell. First, the dissension deserved by all mankind. Second, the dissension endured by Christ. And third, the dissension from which the church is delivered. The dissension of Christ into hell, the dissension deserved by all mankind, the dissension endured by Christ, the dissension from which the church is delivered. Congregation, there are so many in our days that do deny the very existence of hell. They only speak of the existence of heaven. And the rest, they say, perhaps is just the annihilation of man, that if he does not go into heaven, that man is just simply not permitted to exist anymore. Why? Because they say that God is good, God is merciful, God is love, and hell is not consistent then with the mercy and the love and the goodness of the Lord. That is not a surprising thing, because Satan has often used also the word of God in the deception of mankind. But it is very clear from the word of God that hell exists. The Lord is speaking about hell often in His Word. Nor is this inconsistent with the attributes of God. How can God be a righteous judge when there is no punishment for the wickedness of His creature? What an awful place that hell is described to be in that holy word of God. That is not our word. That is not the word of any man, but that is the word, the holy word of God Himself. What do we read of this place? We read of this place in the first place that it is a place of great separation. It is a separation from God Himself, and from every blessing and favor that is coming out of Him. The Lord Jesus says that there is a great gulf fixed between Him and those who are in hell. This is becoming the greatest reason that the true church of God does fear this place. It is separation from the Father. It is separation from Him as the fountain of all good. It is separation from the Son. And who is the Son? The Son is He in whom that He that is separated from the Father has hope, has expectation in this life. Thus, when there is separation from the Son, then there is separation from the Mediator. Then you understand that it is separation from all hope, separation from all expectation. And when we are in a place where there is no hope and no expectation anymore, then there is only one thing that is left, and that is despair. Separation from the Father, separation from the Son, separation from the Holy Spirit. Who is He? He is the distributor. The distributor of all that is good and every blessing and favor that is coming from the Father and through the Son unto His church. Thus, separation, an awful separation from a triune God. Not only from Him, but also from His church, also from His people, also from His holy angels. What do we read in God's Word of this place? We have read it together out of the mouth of the Son of God Himself. It is a place of weeping. It is a place, we read, of gnashing of teeth. Thus we read of the pain of the body of man. An external pain, a suffering of man. And then in what stronger terms can the Lord describe the awfulness of what shall be experienced in that place than the words that we read in that holy word of God? That He says it is a prepared fire. Oh, how that heathen king did prepare that fire. He prepared that fire 7 times hotter than it was wont to be. Children, young people, do you ever prepare a fire? Then when you prepare a fire, then it is your intention to make it to be very, very hot. This is now what we read in that holy word of God. A fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. What do we read of this place? It is described as a lake. It is described as a lake of fire. It is described as a bottomless pit. Thus, what will be the experience of man in this place? Oh, to be in an eternal wallowing, to be in an eternal falling, to be in an eternal burning. What stronger language can we possibly conceive of the anguish and the torments that will be the portion of man in hell? Thus a separation from everything that is good and an experiencing of the most extreme anguish and torments for the body. And not only so, but the Lord Jesus says more. He says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Thus He does not only speak about an outward pain, but the Lord Jesus is also speaking here about an inward pain. Do you know what that is? Young people, children, fathers and mothers, we know what that is. Because when our conscience is speaking, then we are suffering an inward pain. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking here about a worm. And then He speaks about the conscience of man, and that shall testify against him in eternity. Then there will be a conviction. Conviction, why? Well, we will be convicted because of disobedience to that holy law of God. That we have not kept it. That we have transgressed. That there was nothing but iniquity from our side. Oh, then there will be other convictions. Then it is going to also be the blessings. The blessings that we have received out of the hand of the Lord, that man is going to remember having received when he is wallowing in this fire. Thus, the disobedience, thus the blessings, And those blessings, they have never turned our hearts. Those blessings have never wrought repentance in us. Those blessings have never drawn us unto God. There will be more. There will be, we read in the Word of God, the opportunity that we received in the time that is forever going to burn on our conscience in hell. That opportunity that was simply dismissed, that instead of taking this opportunity, we have sought instead all the vanity of this world that we knew in ourselves and that we experienced over and over in our life that was passing away, and that we could not leave this world with anything of all the riches that we had gained in this world. Oh, then the mind of man that is going to be filled with the apprehension of that wrath of God. And even the will of man, oh, that will of man that is never going to become one with the will of God in our suffering in hell. Because this is even a great blessing received in this world. When men must suffer in this world the greatest calamities, but they may receive comfort in this life. When their will may be so bound unto the will of God, and when their will may resign itself to everything that the Lord has placed upon them in this life. But there the will of man that will always be in rebellion against the Lord. And this is now the place, congregation, that you and that I deserve. Why? Because of sin. Because of original sin. Because of actual sin. The wages of sin is death. Hell, what is it? It is an eternal death. It is an eternal dying. It is a place where men will wish that they could be annihilated, where men will wish that they could be done away with, but it shall never be possible. That is, congregation, the just judgment of God. Oh, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Is it not an indication how evil that sin is? That it is sin against a holy God, that it is sin against a righteous God, that it is sin against a just God. Sin that is so much more evil than we think. Why? Because we do not view it with pure eyes, but we view it with defiled eyes. We view it with a defiled heart. But sin, every sin that is viewed by the Lord with perfectly, absolutely holy eyes. Therefore, the Lord says that all that do unrighteously are an abomination. Oh, what does that mean? That means everything that we have this day over hell, congregation, is undeserved. And then even the long suffering of the Lord that you and I experience today, even this long suffering is not going to be experienced anymore. But also the long suffering of God will in that time have come for us individually to its end. Congregation, shall this now be our place? We are not asking if this is now the place that we shall live the rest of our life. But we are asking, is this now the place that we will live to all eternity? Life that is such a serious, serious matter. And what now has to happen for us in our life, if this shall be our end? What has to happen? Nothing. Nothing has to happen. Because when nothing happens, then this shall be our end. This is the end that the scriptures say to us. The end of the way that we are traveling on when we are born. It is a broad road. And it is a broad road that is leading unto everlasting destruction. And therefore, congregation, there is not one of us for whom the subject of instruction in this afternoon ought not to have the greatest interest. That is the question of our fathers. Why is it here added, he descended into hell? Thus, the descension of Christ into hell. What is the meaning of this? This is our second thought. This is indeed something that was very controversial within the Church of God for many ages. Why? Because this word hell in the original language, and that is not always translated, and it is not always pointing unto the same thing. Sometimes it is pointing simply to the grave of man. Sometimes it is pointing indeed to that place of the damned in eternity. And sometimes then it is plainly speaking about, it is speaking in a symbolic way, it is speaking about an extreme anguish in this world. David, he writes, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Well, he speaks, we know, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that was concerning himself also in a physical way. But when he says, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, that language is actually being used in a figurative way, meaning thou shalt not leave my body in the grave. Thus, thou wilt bring me up again. Thou wilt resurrect me again from the dead. The Lord Jesus speaks about the place of that rich man. And he said, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Thus, then it is clear to us what he is speaking about, that eternal place of the damned. David writes in another place, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. Thus, what does David speak about? He speaks about something he has experienced in his life. No, David has not and cannot say that he has been in hell. But he speaks of the sorrows of hell. Then he speaks about the pains of hell, the anguish of hell. And so that word is often being used also in the Word of God. Rome has taught for so very many years that the Lord Jesus has actually descended into hell
after he died. Why? Well, he said, in hell, they taught that in hell was God's people. Abraham was there. Isaac was there. Jacob was there. What were they doing in hell? Well, Rome says they were in a place called the Limbus Patrum. That is a little portal of hell. That is, so they say, a place where the torments of hell are not experienced and the joys of heaven are not experienced, but that is that place that all the Old Testament believers, the true people of the Lord, had to go until that the Lord Jesus actually died on the cross and rose again. Because until that moment, they say that they could not enter yet into heaven. The Lord Jesus had to die first. In congregation, we read of no such thing in the Word of God. And it is, of course, all foolishness, because the Lord's Word, that is as good as His deed. He is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And therefore, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have never descended into hell, no, but they have gone directly into heaven. And it was so very sure that price was actually going to be paid also for Abraham, Isaac, and for Jacob. But Rome says not only so, that the Lord Jesus also had to go there in order to deliver the future saints from purgatory. What is purgatory? Well, they say that is another place where, as it were, God's true people, they need to be purified. Those who have not sinned mortally, eternal sins, but those who have sinned venial, or what they call awful, little sins, that they go there to be purified of their venial, their little sins, so that they may now enter into heaven. Of what purpose, congregation, then, is the justification? Of what purpose is the sanctification of the Lord Jesus Christ? When that church has to suffer for their own sin? The Lutherans say that Christ actually descended into hell, that there he may proclaim his victory. Proclaim his victory over death and over hell. Again, not something that we read in the Holy Scriptures. The Lord Jesus did not actually descend into hell at all. That is impossible. The divinity of the Lord Jesus could not descend. We cannot speak about the divinity of Christ ascending or descending at all. How can his divinity, his divine nature, ascend or descend? His divine nature that is everywhere present, that is actually present also in hell, that is not in his mercy, but the wrath of that holy and that divine being that will be experienced in hell. Thus, then it cannot be that it speaks about the divinity of Christ ascending or descending. What about his body? Well, we know what happened with his body. Our children know what happened with his body that did not descend into hell. Where was his body for 3 days, boys and girls? You say his body that was lying in the grave. That is right. And then what about the soul of Christ, the human soul, the human spirit of Christ? Did that then descend into hell? Well, we read the very opposite. We read that when the Lord Jesus would bow his head and give up the ghost, that he gives his soul into the hands of his Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We read that he says unto the thief, this day, today, shalt thou be with me in hell? No, in paradise. Thus, when we read that the Lord Jesus descended into hell, then this language is referring to an extreme anguish and extreme torment that the Lord Jesus has experienced already here before that he died. And that was in a special way, not merely in his body, but in a special way within his soul. And that was experienced, our catechism students know, in a special way in two places. Where was that? That was in the first place in the Garden of Gethsemane. There the Lord Jesus has himself declared what his soul was entering into, and that my soul that is exceeding sorrowful, he says, even unto death. And then it was in a special way upon the cross itself, where he had to miss, where he had to experience the felt absence of the favor of his own Father. Thus it is the torments that will be experienced by persons in hell, the torments that are due unto that true church of God, that they had as a just desert. It is those torments that Christ suffered in his soul already here in this world. Then it was the burden. It was the burden of the sin of his church that we read was laid upon him. And then what did he see? He saw so clearly the great judge. Oh, that is something that God's children may see in just a little measure. But the Lord Jesus saw him. He saw him in all his perfection. He saw him in all his majesty. He knew him. He was himself one with his Father. And thus he perceived his infinite majesty. He perceived the holiness of his eternal being. He saw the holy law of God. He experienced that holy justice of the judge requiring the full payment for the price of sin. He has experienced the just vengeance and the wrath of God against the sin of his church. It was the curse. Cursed is everyone that is that doeth not all things that are written in the book of the law. That curse that is due unto his church was the curse that did lay upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The human nature of Christ that was filled with fear, that was filled with consternation at this suffering. No, his divine nature could not suffer. But the very soul of his human nature that had to endure the heaviest suffering. And congregation, with all our words, we are not able to give ourselves to you or to ourselves. We cannot give to ourselves a saving impression of hell. Oh, even with that holy word of God, oh, dead man by nature, it does not penetrate into his soul. It does not penetrate into his nature that he is fearing to sink any moment when he may see, when he may feel, when he may experience something of the frailty of the life of man, of the finality of his death, then we cannot impress it upon a man. But Christ knew. He knew well that suffering that was before him. Then by the sight of that divine nature that was able to penetrate even into hell, the Lord Jesus in his human nature, he did recoil against such a suffering. That suffering of Christ, we read what it has wrought even in his body. That he has sweat, as it were, even great drops of blood falling unto the ground. Thus we feel something of that great anguish that his human nature had to suffer under that divine knowledge. Nor was the devil quiet amid all this suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, then we can hear that Satan himself, he has tempted him, that all hell that was loosed against that Son of God. And then he had to experience in the midst of all this hell breaking loose, then he had to experience what it meant to be forsaken of his Father. That is the very essence, that is the very being, that is hell itself. To be completely devoid of the divine favor of God. And then, even when he was in the greatest need of his life, oh, through all the suffering of the Lord Jesus, then what do we read? Oh, we read of his meekness. Then he was like a lamb. It was quiet. He did not open his mouth. But when this part of his suffering came, or when this heaviest part of his suffering came, and when his human nature did bear up under this awful suffering, then the Lord Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He descended into hell. Oh, why was this necessary? This was necessary because the sin of the church, that was not only a sin in their body, no, it was a sin and is a sin of their soul. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to take away every part of the deserved punishment of that true church of God. And therefore that church, they will receive a blessed comfort. A blessed comfort in that descension into hell of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing first Psalter 47. 1, 4, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to thee, O why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1, 4, 8, and 9 of 47.
Our third thought, the dissension from which the church is delivered. Why is there added, he descended into hell? That in my greatest temptations. What does that mean, congregation? In my greatest temptations. God's church will never come into hell. And why will they not come there? They will not come there because Christ himself has come there.
And yet they do experience just a very, very small part of what hell is. That is already in the beginning of that new life. And what do they then experience without God in the world? Or do you also know what this is? Without God in the world? No, it is not yet in hell. It is not yet in despair. That will be awful. But a people who know that they are without God in this world, and a people who miss Him, who desire that that great gulf may be overbridged, that they may be reunited unto Him again. Thus, already from the very beginning of that new life, then it is this separation that becomes the greatest agony and the greatest grief of the true people of the Lord. And now our fathers, they say, in my greatest temptations. Oh, how does that temptation not come back so often in the life of this people? All that they are afraid. They are afraid that it will end so after all. That maybe it is not really true. And that separation that they must experience time and again in their life, That separation that will be made into an eternal separation in my greatest temptations. And why is this such a great temptation? Why is it that they fear that this may be their end? Because they feel, because they know that this is what they deserve. It is because of the knowledge of self. It is because of the knowledge of sin. And then not only in the beginning of that life, but it is the knowledge of sin that is growing in the life of that people, so that they see that it is from the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, and then they deserve, when they have left Him days without number, they so deserve that on that great day of days that He would say, I never knew you. Oh, in my greatest temptations. Oh, yes, sometimes that people, they can believe that it is the work of the Lord. And when the Lord is coming, when He is feelingly, He is believingly in the midst, in the house of God. But how many times is it not so? How many times is not that church in the midst of great temptations? What did David say? He says, my soul that is cast down within me, the Lord hath forsaken me, my Lord hath forgotten me. Thus there are people who know what these great temptations are. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me in my greatest temptations. They are seasons of darkness. They are seasons of gloominess, of doubts, of fears, of unbelief. Then it can seem like everything in their life that is so completely upside down. There is no fruit in their life. They have no light from the Lord. There is no opening in His holy word. And what do they begin to do? They begin to throw everything away that the Lord has done. Oh, doubt, doubt, congregation, that is a genuine thing. Why? Because of their lack. Because of their sin. If it be so, if the Lord is really mine, then why am I thus? Why this evil heart of mine? Oh, they are great temptations. Temptations to just discount everything. Oh, such severe temptations are foreign to the temporary faith. Say, do not they doubt? Yes, they do doubt. Temporary faith that also doubts. But what is the difference? Temporary faith, congregation, doesn't have to wait. What is the nature of that faith? The nature of that faith from the very beginning is to take it unto myself. That never changes. Thus, do these persons experience doubt in their life? Yes. But they have also a solution for their doubt. What is that solution? You must believe. That is now the solution for their doubt. And therefore, these people are not long under temptations, that they are throwing everything away. But now for the afflicted and that poor church of God, oh, something else is so necessary. And you know what the greatest wonder is? That is that the Lord knows that something else is necessary. And that is why the Lord is giving comfort unto His own church when in their greatest temptations. Why? He descended into hell. Why is there added, He descended into hell, that in my greatest temptations I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by His inexpressible anguish, pains, terrors, and hellish agonies in which He was plunged during all His sufferings, but especially on the cross, hath delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. What is the comfort? What is the comfort of this people? That is, congregation, not we must believe. There is no comfort. Why not? Because they do not have faith in their own hands. What is then their comfort? Their comfort is the substance of that faith. Their comfort is the object of that faith. That is the gift of God. What do our fathers say here? Their comfort that is the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is for the assurance of their deliverance. Oh, that people then may fear hell. They may fear an eternal separation because indeed they deserve it. But they shall never come there. Why not? Because in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That is why. And because He has suffered for them the anguish and the torments of hell. The congregation, in order to receive now this comfort, oh, then our instructors, they are speaking this blessed word. They say, my Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, Christ did not suffer these eternal torments for everyone, but he suffered them only for his people. Oh, can his people then always say this? My Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they cannot. And yet there are moments in the life of that same people. Oh, there are moments that they would still not even dare to say it. But they are moments that they may experience it in their heart. Oh, when the Lord empties that people, when the Lord brings that people for themselves in such an impossible way, when the Lord is cutting off all the expectation from the side of that church, and when the Lord is coming over to show himself, or when the Lord is coming over to reveal the smallest part of that blessed mediatorial suffering for such ungodly ones as they are, oh, then that church may indeed receive it in that moment. And then there is a church that cannot but believe it. And though that activity of faith that is not always in exercise, oh, congregation, that does not change the facts. And he will never forsake that work of his own hands, even though his people are not able to always hold on to this. But congregation, if we never experience in our life this missing of God, or what it is to be without God in this world, do you know where we are going to land in our death? Oh, congregation, life that is such a serious matter, our life that is so frail, it is as a flower. Death that is so decisive. And there are only two places. And we are by nature on a pathway, on a broad road that is leading unto hell. We can say it no different. That is no easy message, but it is not our word. It is the holy word of God. Oh, may the Lord awaken us. May the Lord awaken us to that serious, serious predicament that we are in. Meditate, congregation. Meditate on the seriousness of our life. It is preparation. That is what it is. And we all, from the greatest, from the oldest to the youngest, we all are so carried away with the things of this life. And we go on as if there is no death and if there is no eternity. Oh, this sermon, not because of man, but in all its feebleness, this sermon will also testify against us in hell one day. If nothing takes place in our life, why? Because in it we have heard the word of God, what it is to be there. Because in it we have heard that there is a way of escape. Because in it we have heard that today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, convert us unto thee. Lord, we cannot give to ourselves a saving impression. Oh, grant us life from heaven, from above, thou, whose ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, whose arm is not shortened that it cannot save.
Oh, stretch it out, Lord. Wilt thou bring us through that straight gate, and that we may walk with our children upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Bless thy word. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 248, 1, 3, 4, and 6. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. 1, 3, 4, and 6 of 248. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.